Welcome back to the Chronically Positive Podcast. I'm your host, Isla Oxman, and this is the podcast that's not about forced positivity, but it's about when shitty things happen to you, what you do with the shit that happens. And this week, I'm so glad to be joined by Olivia, also known as Chronically Ill and Hot on Instagram and TikTok, and we share the same illnesses, MCAS, POTS, and Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. Season 2 is all about love, relationships with chronic illness. Olivia talks to us about her relationship with her husband, her diagnosis story, and a whole lot more. Before we begin, if you haven't already, rate, subscribe, like, review, comment, whatever platform you're listening on. It really helps get these stories out to people who would benefit from hearing them. All right, now let's meet Olivia. Thank you so much for being on the show, Liv.
Of course. Yeah, I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm so excited to meet you. We've been following each other for quite some time.
Yeah, I love your page.
Thank you. I love yours too. It's cool to actually talk to the people behind the screen.
It feels surreal because it's like you feel like you know people so well. It's like, oh yeah, that's my homie. And then you realize, wait, we've never actually met.
I know, exactly. And that's why I love doing these, because we actually get to meet the people. Okay, so for people who don't know who you are, and I'm sure a lot of people listening do know who you are, because I feel like we have a lot of the same followers, could you give us like a quick rundown?
Sure. So my name is Liv, or Olivia. I go by Chronically Ill and Hot on Instagram and TikTok. It's supposed to be a play on words. I'm not like super arrogant. Like,
I love it. You know, all chronically ill people are hot. Chronic illness only comes for hot people.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, we're hot in every sense. We're hot. We're having hot flashes. We might be hot. But yeah, I started my page just talking, like sharing about my experience with, at the time I was actually misdiagnosed with RA and fibromyalgia when I had started my page. Wow. And it turned out I had neither of those. And I actually had Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, mast cell activation syndrome, and dysautonomia. And then a couple of other banes of my existence that those kind of brought along. Mm-hmm. But through starting my page, I feel like I have talked to so many people about their experience as well, and I've learned a lot from people, and then hopefully people can take something from my page as well. I try to present information not in a way like I'm an expert in any way, shape, mm-hmm. or form, but just in a way like this is my experience and maybe things that help me could, you know, hit home for somebody else. And then I also like to kind of shed light on the more serious topics, but also have a sense of humor about it too. And then be lighthearted about certain things. I really like making memes on those pages.
I'm exactly the same. You gotta make some memes to get through.
Exactly. I like tying in my interests. Like, I'm super, super into anime. So I'll usually take like a clip from one of the ones that I like the most and relate it to chronic illness somehow. I see so many, because like my husband and I are so into anime. And whenever we see one that just could relate to it somehow, we look at each other and it's like, that's definitely turning into a meme.
My boyfriend and I do the same thing.
So yeah, that's kind of just a bit about me and what I do with my online presence.
Yeah, no, I love your page too, because you are one of the like earlier on, like when I first started exploring the internet with chronic illness, I learned a lot from you.
Wow.
Because I also have MCAS, EDS, and POTS, the thing. And like a lot of the stuff that you share, I'm like, me.
That's crazy. Yeah. I feel the same way about your page too. And I've seen so many of your posts where I'm like, I save it and such good ideas for things that'll help me. Especially like I saw that you've gotten really into cooking with mast cell activation syndrome. And I have too. And I'm like, I just love seeing that because I feel like it's really helped me. And so it's cool to see other people.
Yeah. Absolutely. Like, I felt like I had to, because dinner every night was the same thing. And I'm like, food needs to be enjoyable in some way, because this is insane.
Yeah. I completely understand.
I saw that you started Xolair. I think we're kind of on a similar timeline with our Xolair, which is kind of fun.
Yeah, wild. I did.
Yeah. So I'm getting my third shot on Friday.
Oh, okay.
Have you had three?
I have had three. So I get my fourth on May 5th, actually. So we're like right, like a week or two behind.
Yeah. I haven't noticed anything yet. But I'm hoping after the third, maybe.
I know they told me at least three doses. Like, you might not even see any sort. I saw a little bit of a difference with my chemical sensitivities initially, but I saw the first month, I saw no difference in like food reactions other than the foods that I was eating. Like, even my safe foods, I was still getting some degree of reaction with. Then after my second shot, I was able to successfully reintroduce fruit and vegetables. And now I am doing, like, it's insane. I cannot believe how fast it's worked for me. So definitely, I know it can take some time for like full effectiveness. So maybe like in a couple of months, you could be really noticing a difference.
For me, the reason, like, if I smell any sort of fragrance, my throat starts to swell.
That's
That's like my
me.
biggest thing. Obviously, I want to be able to eat, but when I started this, that was the number one thing that I need to get a handle on.
That sounds accurate to my experience. Also, the fragrance thing, it's interesting you mentioned that because I feel like a lot of the times online I talk about my experience with mast cell, like when it relates to food, but actually my chemical sensitivities are way more debilitating because and before I started Xolair, I was telling my doctor this. I was so distraught at like the first couple months of being in a flare because I was in a flare for 5 maybe 6 months, and I know at one point I had told her, like, I was just sobbing to her. I'm like, I can control the food aspect, but what stresses me out is I cannot control my environment. Like, I work close with people in my job, and when somebody comes in with super strong perfume or cologne, and I hate asking people, like, oh, don't wear anything. Like, I should be better about that, but I'm just, I don't know. It's kind of difficult too, and
No, I totally know. Sorry to cut you off, but like that is
you're
like
fine.
what I'm dealing with right now. I also went to my allergist crying because like I feel like I'm about to use my EpiPen every single day. And so I've been up, my apartment building that I live in now has like at the front of the building, they have these like industrial plugins that just
Oh my
spew
God.
out fragrance. And 5 months ago, like I was waking up every morning just like full body rash. They unplugged it, thankfully. But since I've been looking at like new apartments, all of these buildings have like their own fragrance and they pump it out. Like I'll put a picture of what it looks like because it's insane. Like you can see it coming out. It's so strong. And I did a tour,
God.
and after the tour, like my throat was so swollen and full. It's so
So,
frustrating.
is it like it pumps it into your apartment?
No, it's just in the lobby. But like me
Gotcha.
just being in the lobby for like 2 minutes will do it. And I flew to Italy 2 weeks ago and someone was wearing the strongest perfume on the flight.
Oh my gosh.
And like my voice was like gone because it was so closed by the end of the flight. It was so bad. And a lot of people's houses I go to, they have Febreze plugins. It's like how many, you can't just keep asking people to like, oh, can you stop doing this? Or like I went to an Airbnb and like the cleaning ladies use, there's this like brand called Fabuloso or
Oh my
something. Do you
gosh,
know
my
Fabuloso?
personal
It
hell.
makes me so sick. It's probably the, it's one of the like most sick I get from like any chemicals.
And
And
it's like you
like,
can't get away from them.
and I don't, when I was younger, I don't feel like the world was like the, everything was this chemically fragrant. Like I feel like in the past like 10 years it has gotten so much worse and people are obsessed with plug-ins and like Bath and Body Works and car scents and things like that. And even for a healthy person, it's so bad for you.
Which is ironic because I don't know about you, but for me, when I was younger, I wasn't sensitive to fragrance. Like, it's
I wasn't either. I loved it. I loved going to Bath and Body Works, getting all
me
those
too.
candles. I wanted plug-ins, like totally.
Like, I was all about that. Like, if anything, I would probably wear too much perfume as a teenager. And it's kind of funny now because I was always getting migraines and I was always having sinus infections and respiratory infections. And
Me
I never.
too. So let's pivot into relationships. If that's okay.
Yeah, definitely.
So, how long have you been with your hubby?
It'll be 11 years
Oh
in end of May.
my God, so you met in high school?
We did, yeah. We met the end of 10th grade year, actually. Yeah.
Oh, your high school
And
sweethearts. I love that so
yeah.
much.
And May 12th, we'll be married for 5 years.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So you got sick after you were
Yeah.
married? Were you, did you, how long have you been struggling?
Yeah, so I definitely had some health issues in high school, but from the time I hit puberty and then some things like when I was a little kid, but it was all just kind of like flukes and then I'd be fine. And
Yeah.
then throughout high school, like especially my 10th grade year in particular, I felt awful for half of the year and I really struggled quite a bit that year. And I didn't realize at the time what I was having were likely flare-ups. It just felt like I will feel so debilitatingly sick and I would be so sensitive to smells. And like my biology teacher let me sit out of class a couple of times just because I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to just get out of class, but I cannot be around these experiments, which is right against my mouth. And so I would have all of these weird things that would happen and just incidents of getting super sick or feeling like I was going to pass out all day and just debilitating joint pain. But then a couple days later, I'd be fine after just resting. And so I just thought, oh, I don't know. Happens to my mom. Like, that's
This
why
is
she lets
just
me stay over
me.
at school. Yeah,
Yeah,
she
like
has a
my
chance.
when I was growing up, I was a fainter. That's just what she does. Like all of high school.
Oh, isn't it crazy how you just grow up and you're like, whoa, I don't know.
It's like, is it normal
But.
to be susceptible to fainting? Like it was so normalized. It was bizarre.
Right. Like, she's a teenage girl. She'll grow out of it.
Yes. Her heart rate's 200. She'll grow out of it.
Right. She'll be fine. I know my gym coach, I had to have surgery my 10th grade year, and it was kind of a traumatic time.
Oh, wow.
And I went to school with the doctor's note, and I was supposed to get out of gym, but my gym coach was like, oh, no, you'll be fine. I'm like, I'm really not. Like, I got surgery, but because I don't want to tell him the details of that in front of the whole class, he told me, well, what did you have? And I'm like, surgery? That's kind of personal. And so he did make me run. Yeah. And I definitely feel like that probably made it take longer to recover. Well, he gave me the option. He said that you can either. Something like you can write an essay about the importance of exercise, or you can run. And I was like, writing now, right?
Now, oh my God. Let me rip my wounds open over running. That's, oh my God. That's awful.
Definitely vomited.
Oh no.
But yeah, so relationships. So Joe and I met the end of my 10th grade year, and then there were a few times where he had seen me just not doing well, and one time he took me to the hospital because of it. And he's like, well, I don't know what is going on, but like, this is not normal, like, this doesn't happen to me. And I'm like, well, I know it doesn't happen to all my friends, but like, it's normal in my family. And I feel like he was honestly the person who made me realize, no, this is not normal, but it still wasn't really, I don't know, it wasn't that bad because it wasn't constant. And then when I finished esthetician school, that whole year I was in and out of urgent care for various things that I would have never known were due to EDS, but and mast cell. But by the time I graduated school, I within a couple of months it became constant. I will never forget. And it was also the same month that he went to basic training. Because he is in the military. And so when he was gone is when I really, like, it just kind of hit the fan for those couple of months. And I know I'd mentioned to him in the letters, I was like, hey, so I don't know what's going on, but I can't eat anything. But I'm sure it'll be better by the time you get back. Enjoy your good meals for me. Because he was all excited about the meals that he was getting for free. But, yeah, by the time he was out, I'd already had my esophagus stretched once and I'd been in and out to multiple specialists. No one knew what was going on because that was when I started consistently having swallowing issues. And then I had a couple of years where I really struggled with that. And anything that wasn't like my safe food, I had to take Benadryl in order to eat. And I tried allergy shots because I tested allergic to like everything on the environmental panel and virtually like almost everything. And I got a lot sicker on them. It made me a lot worse, but no one really caught it because it was super delayed. It wasn't while I was there.
Right.
And I stopped doing them the beginning of the pandemic because I'm like, well, I'm not going to go
right
do that. And then I noticed I felt a lot better stopping them. And I just did better on the Allegra, like the antihistamines and stuff, and then keeping the reflux in check.
Yes.
And then I started to do a lot better. And like, I was still not doing great as far as pain and joint pain goes. And that was when the pain, like I have this pain in my face in the back of my head that had started around that time. But eating and everything was under control, like the allergic type reactions. And so we had gotten married because I was like, I'm doing better. And we were already engaged for a couple of years, but we kept pushing it back. Mm. And a lot of it was to do with everything that was going on with my health. But I was doing better. And so we ended up getting married. And it wasn't until a couple of years later when the allergic type reactions started getting out of hand again.
Yeah.
But I feel like I had 2 good years of being able to eat a lot of things, and then just having him there with me through all of it is like, I honestly couldn't do it without him.
That's so sweet. Oops. Sorry. That's my midadrenum alarm. Hold on.
I love it. That's my pretzel alarm. Because I can eat pretzels again.
Okay, so you've been married for 5 years, been together for 11 years.
Yeah.
That's, oh my gosh.
For a hot minute.
So it sounds like he's just like a very supportive partner when it comes to your illnesses.
Definitely. He is so supportive. He was there with me through, because I never had to do an in-office food trial before until this flare-up. And because I was, and I told her half the battle is like a lot of things I probably would have been fine with sooner, but I was so terrified to try foods again because I was so scared of having those impending doom. Like I'm actually going to die right now.
I know that feeling. It's like the worst feeling on the planet.
It's so bad.
So scary. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I was getting to a point where it's like, I'm so scared. And so, the first thing that I did was boiled chicken in the office. And so I just sat there for 3 hours and he was there with me the whole time. And it was funny because the nurse and I were talking about like conspiracy theories and just pop culture and stuff. And we're just talking the entire time, which was cool because it was like a nice distraction because I was like nervous. But and so he's just watching The Office because she put on The Office for us. And so he's been to so many appointments with me, and he is just the best. And he's there through the worst of it, and he's there through the best of it.
That's awesome. A lot of people who are listening, you know, have issues with their relationships because chronic illness can take a toll on a relationship. Has there ever been a time where it has taken a toll?
Yeah, and I think that like that's definitely normal because it can be difficult on both people, like albeit in different ways. But I know there's been times for sure where I would get super depressed because it's like, I want to be able to do all these things with you. Like, I want to be able to, like, and it would make me so emotional, like, especially this past flare up, because there was a certain point where I was just feeling very hopeless and just in a really dark headspace. And so I know I told him, like, I don't want to, I feel like I'm holding you back from being able to do things, and I want you to be able to go do whatever you want right now. I want you to be here, sit bored with me watching a show. And he always just reassures me, like, no, like I'm having fun. Like I like hanging out. And, like, he's just very go with the flow like that.
Yeah.
I know it's been difficult for him to see me so sick. So there's definitely been a couple points where, like, he's not a crier. Like, he's not someone who just cries a lot. That's more me.
Me too. I cry if I'm anxious, mad, sad. Like, crying is my default response every emotion. Happy. Like,
yeah. Oh my gosh. Like, I will cry if I see, like, a cute baby on Instagram.
No, literally. My boyfriend's like, this doesn't warrant tears. I'm like, I know, but this is how I work.
Really?
how my body responds.
Literally, I cry on the way to work because I'll listen to the Attack on Titan soundtrack and then
oh my god,
editing me because I'm like ah, and I get there and then my client's already there. I'm like, don't look at me.
Wait, sidetrack real quick. So the aux in my boyfriend's car doesn't work, so he has a flash drive. And the rumbling song is on, and like it'll be like all of a sudden it's like rumbling, and it's like it scares the shit.
Oh my gosh. I love it. That was I was blasting that song last year because I was before this flare up. I was working out a lot, and that would be my go-to. I'm like, oh, do it. Just the best.
Good. Okay, but, sorry. Yeah. What were you gonna say?
No, you're fine. So I'm always happy to talk about AOT. Yeah. But yeah, so he is not somebody who cries a lot. But there were a couple of times, like on my birthday this year, this February, I kept saying for those months, like, oh, my goal is like I want to be able to eat this by my birthday or like do this. In reality, I wasn't able to do anything or, you know, eat anything outside of anything. I had 3 food trials in February that failed, and I was a little disheartened because I was like, oh, I wanted to be that person that Zolaire works for in a week, but just it's not going to work like that.
Yeah.
But so I was a little bit sad, but I was also just trying to keep positive. And then at one point we were driving to go to, I think we're just going to Five Below or something. So I just want to go to Five Below and look at the anime stuff. And he had started tearing up and he was getting super emotional, just saying, I'm just sorry. And I just want to be able to do all of these things for you. I just want you to be able to have the best day ever and be able to eat whatever you want and do whatever you want. But I'm just so, so sad that I can't do that for you. And that I, you know, he was just so, like, he started really, like, it makes me emotional thinking about, like, he was actually sobbing. And I told him, like, the only thing that I could ask for is just having you here and having you here to support me and going home. And at the time we were staying with my parents and we got to play games with them and we got to play games with my brother too, because he just recently moved back here from out of state. And so I was like, all I could ask for is that, like, I just having the best time with you guys. Like, even if it's just sitting back playing Jackbox games, I'm just thankful that I have you guys, and that alone is going to be the best day. So it can definitely take a toll. And then also, I've seen it take a toll on him. Like, he will, you know, he's my rock and he keeps strong. But after, like, I had an endoscopy a couple of weeks ago now, and I thought it was just going to be kind of a normal endoscopy. And it, like, I ended up having to have my esophagus stretched, which I was terrified about because I had bad experiences with that with a past GI, but it ended up thankfully working very well this time. And
so good.
But it was just a little bit of a stressful thing because I was, like, aware at one point during the procedure and started, like, really coughing with the, like, thing down my throat. And so it was just a little bit stressful. And so when I was, like, kind of half waking up, and this is at the point, like, I had not reintroduced anything. I hate to use the word, like, normal, because it's like, what is that? Yeah. But, like, anything that I didn't make with my own hands.
Yes.
Pretty much I didn't reintroduce at this point until the following week. And so it was still kind of at the point where I'm only eating the same few things. Just that recent, like, in already in 2 weeks, it's changed drastically. But I was waking up a little bit and I could hear the nurse telling him, because she didn't know, like, the entire thing about, like, mast cell, because, you know, it was just one of the nurses discharging, like, the doctor knew and everything, but she didn't know, like, how limited my diet's been the last 6 months due to mast cell. And so she told him that she can go back to her normal diet when she gets home, like, she doesn't have to, you know, do anything for downtime. And I just heard him crying, and, like, my eyes were shut at this point, but I just hear him crying, and he's like, I'm sorry, she has to only eat things that she makes herself the last few months, and, like, it's just, it's been tough on her. And I, like, my eyes just never opened so fast, and I just held his hand. I was like, oh my god, like, it's just, it's hard seeing them like that, because it's like, you know that it can take a toll on them seeing you like that. And then, but it's just, it's amazing having that kind of support and somebody that cares about you like that. And I'm just so grateful for him. And I'm grateful he's everything.
Oh, I love that. It is so hard because they're in a position where, like, it's for the most part out of their control, and all they want to do is for you to feel good. And it's like all they really can do is offer as much support as possible, but it kind of ends there. And I just can't even imagine, like, how hard it is to just want to just be able just to make it go away. And you can't do that for the person you love, and you just watch them suffer. And it's a very hard position to be in, just as hard it is for us to live with. Totally so hard for the people around us.
Yeah, I agree, because it's like the people that care about you would do anything to take that pain away. Yeah. But it's like, unfortunately, it just doesn't work like that.
And my mom, she's one of those, like, whenever I'm not feeling well, she's like, I'm so sorry, sweet. Like, it breaks my heart. And I'm like, don't say that. It makes me feel bad, because I don't want you to feel sad because I feel bad.
I know. And it's like, on the one hand, I mean, I'm glad that, like, they're not like, oh, get over it. But it's also, it makes me so sad to hear that too. So I totally get it.
Yeah. It's like, we both don't need to suffer. Just one of us. Okay. It's like,
right.
It's okay. No, but no, it's hard.
Your boyfriend, how long have you guys been together?
We've been together. It was 3 years in November. So, like,
oh, it's almost awesome.
3.5 years. And I got sick, like, 3 months into us dating.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I've been struggling my whole life, and I've just been told it's anxiety. And, you know, it didn't affect me to the point where I could do everything except run a mile. Like, I could walk to my campus. College was huge. I walked to class every day. Mm-hmm. I, like, would stay up till 2 a.m. on the weekends. Like, I was... like, it wasn't keeping me from doing anything that I wanted to do, but there would be, like, every year I was sent to the hospital because I fainted in college.
Gotcha.
Because there was always, like, I guess, like, a breaking point at some point in the year.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, and so, and it was just like, oh, you just need to stay hydrated better, and you need to gain some weight, because, like, I was so, I just, like, kept losing weight, and I think it attributed to my heart rate being so high all the time. I was just constantly burning calories. Like,
that makes sense, yeah.
Because I gained weight when I went on Korlynor and Midodrine to lower my heart rate.
Gotcha.
I only was able to gain weight once I started treating my POTS. So,
it's possible.
Like, when they tell, like, I feel like it's a lot of people in their early diagnosis of POTS are very thin. And actually, I shouldn't say that, but, like, the people that I know personally are very thin. And I know a lot of people online I see posting who talk about how it's just impossible for them to put on weight. Mm-hmm. One, because POTS, like, cause, like, just dysautonomia and autonomic dysfunction causes so many GI issues as well. Mm-hmm. And so with that alone, it's hard to put on weight. But once I put on about 15 pounds... my blood pressure was a lot better. Like, just, like, my blood volume was better.
Yeah.
But I couldn't do that until I went on medication to reduce my heart rate. Because, but for years, they're just like, gain weight, you're too thin. Your heart's working too hard because you're, like, not malnourished or whatever it is. But jokes on them, like, my heart, like, I still have high heart rates even on medication that's lowering it. Yeah. So, like, functioning, like, for most of my life, but, like, had moments of this sucks and would, like, do some ER visits. Okay, back to, yeah, so at 3 months, like, this is also TMI, but, like, we had sexy time. And then afterwards, I, like, got up to go to the bathroom, as you should afterwards as a lady, so you don't get a UTI. And I stood up, and I was like, oh, my God. He's like, what's wrong? I'm like, I'm going to faint. And I, like, remember, like, going to the foot of the bed and, like, putting my legs up and calling mom. I was like, Mom, I'm fainting. She's like, well, you're talking to me. I'm like, I know, but it's coming. Like,
oh, and, my God.
And he was like, what is going on? Like, but he was, like, very supportive, and he just sat there with me, and it passed. And then, like, I was fine for, like, 3 weeks. And then we went skiing. And I remember every time I stood up on the lift, like, to go down the hill, I saw stars. And, like, I had the worst headache the entire day. But I didn't feel like I was going to faint. I just felt, like, incredibly dehydrated. And no matter how much I drank, it just wasn't doing anything.
Yeah.
And then a week later, I started a new job. And on the second day, I was potty training a little girl because I was a registered behavior technician. And I wasn't even standing. I was squatting and I like passed out. And then for that whole week, I couldn't stand up without fainting. Like it was just like all of a sudden just like so dramatic. Yeah, I think my body was like, we're done. You need to do something about this. We're not letting you stand up until you get help.
Yeah. Then,
yeah. So I've definitely come a long way. But like over the years, the MCAS has like kind of been the bitch.
Yes. Oh my God. That's what I say too. It's like, that is the bane of my existence. Like the other things I feel like for the most part, they're definitely more in check, especially like the pain. The pain is way more in check, except for like my rib cage. It's been kind of a pain in the butt recently. Like every once in a while, I have to kind of stretch and be like,
do your ribs sublux? Like,
yeah, but it's weird because it's mainly on the left side and my pain is on the right side. So I don't know what's going on.
My left ribs come, my like floating rib is like, hi. Like waving all the time.
Yeah. And see, for me, it's mainly on the left side that would happen, every once in a while on the right side. But for the last 6 months straight, like during this mast cell flare, so sometimes I was like, is this pain? How much of the pain breathing is from like reacting to things, and how much is this? Like the more that it settled down, because like the mast cell, like the constant allergic type reaction is constant, but this has never improved. So I don't know what's going on there. But yeah, the only thing that has been really consistently a pain in the butt is mast cell for the last few years.
Yeah, that's how I feel too.
You get a handle on it and kind of switch it up after.
No, because I'm like, my POTS, I wonder if my POTS would seem worse if my MCAS wasn't so bad. Because I'm like, if I didn't have MCAS, like, I would be, you know, I would be killing it. But then today, like, I almost fainted, so I don't know.
Right? Like, every once in a while, it humbles you, and you're like, oh, never mind.
Because food being a big, impacts a big part of your life, when it comes to dates, do you guys avoid dates, like food related dates?
Yeah, so the last 6 months we didn't go out on a restaurant date. We would just do takeout. Like he would get takeout and then I would eat my stuff at home. I did go to a restaurant a couple of times. Funny enough, it was the same restaurant. It was Carrabba's. I did not get anything both times. I even brought my own water because that was like when I was super reactive. And so I'm not even going to drink water from anywhere right now.
I don't drink. I always bring my own water to restaurants because cold water gives me a reaction.
Oh, gosh. Mass is so crazy like that.
It's so crazy. It's so unhinged.
You know what's funny? Frozen blueberries gave me a reaction, and then when I reintroduced them in the form of baby food, it was fine.
Yep.
So I'm like, I wonder if it's something to do with it being cold, and my body was just like...
Yeah, I can't... I used to love frozen blueberries.
They're so good.
Like, anything cold, just...
Yeah. When your body's just, like, really reactive, I feel like it'll be the littlest things that change. Like, it gave you a normal change in your body. Like, oh, my tongue is cold, but your body just detects as a thread.
Like, literally a breeze against my ear.
Yeah.
I was, like, intense ear itching. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Like, the silliest things in mast cells. Like, okay, we're squaring up right now, or... but, yeah, like, we did not go on any, like, restaurant dates the last 6 months. But otherwise, we do. Like, we're definitely... more takeout people.
Yeah.
I am. Like, even when I'm doing better, we just kind of like to get takeout and chill at the house with our dogs. But We really liked this burger place at the Outer Banks that we'd go to a lot. So that was kind of like our date place if we would go out of town, like on vacation. So I'm hoping to have that again too. Other than that, we kind of just like had our dates at home the last 6 months, honestly. What about you guys?
We don't go out a lot, and we blame a lot of that on money, but eating out is really hard for me, although it has gotten a bit better. We went out on Sunday night. It was really nice, but like my boyfriend and I are both kind of homebodies. Like he's a big gamer, and like obviously I'm chronically ill, so I like to be at home in my safe space.
That's
But like
awesome.
we order in a lot rather like you than take out. And I mean, then going out, we get takeout. And we like watch shows together and play video games. Kind of like we do a lot of stuff in the house. But like when we do go out and do stuff, we're like, oh, why don't we do this more? Like we went bowling, which I did not think I'd be able to do with my pots. And it was really fun. And so I think we've kind of gotten in the cycle of not going out and doing stuff because I have been sick for the past 3 years. But I definitely feel like we should start experimenting with some outside of the apartment activities.
No, I feel that. And it's when it takes a lot of energy out of you, it can be really difficult. Go do things. And then also at the same time, I understand that feeling of when you finally do go out and you're like, oh, we need to do this more. And even just being outside, I feel like can be so healing too. Like going to do some type of outdoor activity, which it can be hard with mast cell too, especially pollen season. It's
Oh
like
my
even if you don't have
God.
mast cell, everybody's out here coughing where I
Oh,
live.
it's so bad. My car is yellow right now.
Yeah, same.
The wheels on my rollator are lime green from the pollen, and it's awful. Although I feel like food makes me more allergic to pollen, and I'm actually allergic to pollen.
And I know
Like,
the oak
literally.
allergens are out right now, and like that's one of the environmental allergens that like I legit have that like might or might not have anything to do with mast cell. So I'm out here just when I go outside.
Oh my God. No, for real. I've tried wearing a mask. I feel like it didn't do anything with the pollen. I feel like it snuck its way in. I've been coming home every day and just immediately getting in the shower and like washing my face, because if I don't, I'm screwed.
Same.
Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about, share, wise words of wisdom?
Maybe just like something that's helped me, I guess, like with this flare up that I've had that I'm finally like out of seeming to be and like slowly kind of recovering from getting out of it. But something that's really helped me, and I think there's like a name for it that's like eye movement desensitization, something like that. But I've been reading a lot about how to, I guess like somatic exercises is what you'd call it. So I've been tapping more into that to help with my mast cell symptoms, because I feel like I was doing everything else except for addressing how much stress was impacting. And I know like I will break out into stress hives, and
Oh, I
so.
do too. Like, I literally today, when I felt like I was gonna faint, broke out in hives because it's stressed. Like within like 20 seconds of stress, like.
And then it's like, I mean, even people who don't have mast cell can break out into stress hives. So it's like, if you do have it, it can really, like, it's not gonna help any of the mast cell symptoms. And so I feel like that's when I really started noticing a difference. I don't know if the Xolair, if one would work without the other. You know what I mean? So, I now that I've really tried to take a step back and address like the stress, and then like with chronic illness, I feel like for me, I was suppressing a lot of my emotions, and so I would talk about things like almost like in a robotic way, like yeah, this is happening, like things that were actually like really traumatic to me, but I wasn't taking the time to process them. And especially like with being online and sharing these things, sometimes it would like I would get on here and talk about it as if it's like matter of fact, as if it's not debilitating my everyday life. And at a certain point, I deleted a lot of my TikTok videos. Like, I think I deleted most of my TikTok videos from 2023 and 2022 because it was like the stress was getting me more than I had realized, because that was such a stressful time in my life. And I felt like every day I was getting notifications from a video, even if I wasn't even talking about what was going on, I knew what was going on in my life at that time and how hard it was health wise. And it's like just that constant reminder. So I'm trying to get into where I am acknowledging how I feel about, you know, chronic illness and living with it without it getting out of hand or like my body overreacting to those emotions. Because
totally,
NFL, as you know, you can react to strong emotions, which is ridiculous, but it's unfortunately what can happen. And so I'm trying to find that balance, and it's made a difference. And then so like the whole eye movement desensitization thing, and I haven't gone to therapy for it or anything, but that would probably be a good thing to try. But I've just been kind of, you know, reading things and stuff. And so one of the things that really has helped me, especially with reintroducing foods and trying to get over that fear, is I've just been taking my finger and I'll follow my eyes along with it. And then I'll just tell myself things like, you're safe in your body. Food isn't scary. Food is nutrition. And it's like, if you don't have mast cell, if you haven't had really scary reactions to food, it probably sounds so silly to even be scared of trying foods. Like, I felt silly being in my doctor's office doing food trials.
Yeah.
But thankfully, they were great in understanding. They're like, no, it's understandable.
Yeah.
But you feel silly for being scared, but it's a reality when you've had those reactions. And so,
yeah, it's a valid fear. Like, it's not just a random fear that you have. Like, there is evidence to back it up for you to be afraid of it.
Exactly. And so like addressing that stress is definitely a big piece of the puzzle. And it's not like stress is what's causing the mast cell, but it's certainly not helping anything. And so tackling that aspect, I think, is huge.
Totally. Have you heard of tapping meditation?
Vaguely. I'm not super familiar with it, though.
You just tap different parts while you listen to someone talking to you. I do, like, before bed, it's called sleep programming healing. It's like, picture yourselves healing, and you just like picturing yourself healing. Obviously, I know it doesn't heal me, but like when I do it before bed, I sleep so much better than if I don't do it before bed.
Yeah, I believe it. I like calming music when I sleep.
Yeah, too. Yeah. So I like tapping. My dad he's gotten so into meditation and like mindset and body follows the mind. And I do believe in a lot of aspects of body following the mind, but I do not believe in total healing.
Yeah.
In that aspect, I think it can totally help support.
Absolutely.
100%. Because if you're so unwell, if there's so much going up here, like it's going to affect you everywhere.
Absolutely.
So I do think it helps you heal easier with the things that are actually going to help you heal. Or in our case, like, we don't have illnesses that you can heal from. But
right. It's like heal to a baseline that's comfortable, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Because I do see a lot of accounts where it's like, I healed my nervous system. And I'm like, but what if your issues, your nervous system are caused by EDS?
Yeah. No, I understand. And I feel like sometimes, partially because of a lot of people, I think because you hear histamine when it relates to mast cell. And so when people hear about histamine intolerance, they kind of just assume that they're the same thing. And they're both, you know, could be very difficult in their own right, but they're very different in their own right. And so a lot of people with histamine intolerance, I've seen say, you know, you can heal these things with diet changes alone and then kind of rope mast cell into it, where, I mean, maybe that could happen for some people. I don't foresee that happening for me.
Yeah.
I don't think I would be here if it wasn't for medications.
Right. Oh my God. Mast cell.
I think it's important to acknowledge a lot of aspects of these things, but also not just say, oh, if you're not doing this, it means you're not trying hard enough. If you're not focusing on the diet, like, you can be doing everything right, but mast cell's still gonna mast cell.
For real. I mean, I wish I had MCAPs for mold toxicity and that I could just find the mold and get rid of it, but I don't live, there's no mold. anywhere I'm at. Like, because I get comments like, find the root cause and heal yourself. I'm like, the root cause is my connective tissue disorder.
Yeah.
Like, POTS and MCAS are morbidities. They come with the EDS because of the connective tissue.
Right.
Like the mast cell, like, degranulation. And, like, it's all about your tissue, so.
Yeah, in my experience as well. So I totally understand. And it's like, we're just all so different as well. Even if we both have mast cell, it can be very different presentations and things that work for us. So I know for me, when I share my experience, I try to never have it come across like, oh, if you're not doing this, you're not doing something right. Like, even, no, I mean, some of the things that I do that help me, like some of the supplements that I take that I've noticed a difference, would probably cause a bad reaction for some people.
Yeah, it's such an individualized illness, and with POTS and dysautonomia, like, there's just so many different things that can make one person feel great and another one feel awful. Like, liquid IV makes me feel like trash.
Yeah, I can't do it. I've never been able to
talk. Yeah, that's probably because of the MCAS, but I know people who just have POTS, like, it's a lifesaver, so.
Yeah, no, I feel that. I feel like at the end of the day, the most important thing is we just kind of acknowledge each other's struggles without stepping over people. Like, I know there are people that have much more difficult cases of EDS and mast cell, all of these things than me. So I don't want to ever come across like I'm trying to talk over people. And then I think it's just important to support one another, because it's we're all out here doing our best, and it's not easy.
we're just trying to thrive and enjoy life as much as we can with the not so great cards that have been dealt to us.
right We're all just trying to, like, enjoy our lives and deal with this, and then at the end of the day maybe do something fun, like watch Attack on Titan.
Oh, that's amazing. Thank you so much. This was so fun.
I loved being on this, and it was just so great getting to talk to you.
Yeah.
Just someone who just truly understands.
Like I said, like, it's never like an interview situation. I just like to meet the people that I'm following and talk about our experiences and how, I mean, the main part of the main message of this podcast is, it's not about, like, forcing positivity, but, like, how are you, you know, with what you're given, like, how are you continuing to live a fulfilled life, you know? Because I feel like it's possible, even though we have a lot going on, but I wouldn't be doing all this if I never got sick. And I'm not saying everything happens for a reason. I don't like saying that. But
no, I understand.
I wouldn't have tapped into this creative side. And that's the positive thing that came from it. It's not about having a positive mindset. It's like what you do, not the shit that happens to you, but what you do with the shit that happens. And I say that on every episode, but.
Yeah, 1,000% agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, not here for the, like, everything happens for a reason, but I'm here for the, like, maybe something good can come out of it. And
it's what you decide to do with it. And like, a lot of people with chronic illnesses seem to tap into that. And that's why I wanted to start this podcast, because there's so many people like that. And it's really refreshing to see, because a lot of people online who don't have chronic illnesses and they're seeing our accounts like, oh, you're attention seekers, like, you just want to be sick all day. It's like, no, look at what I'm doing.
Right. Yeah.
Like, look what this led to.
Yeah, so. Exactly. And it can give you the opportunity to maybe help somebody who has no idea what any of this is. And, like, I know those are the best messages that I receive, when somebody's like, I didn't even know what EDS was, and now I'm diagnosed and finally feeling better after seeing your page. It's the, what? Me? No way. Like,
no, yeah, little me. No, totally. I love seeing that. Or it's like, someone messaged me like, I can actually function now because of all of your tips with POTS. I'm like, wait, what?
That's amazing.
Like, I've gone back. Someone said, like, I've gone back to work. I'm like, that's wild. I wish my tips worked that well on myself.
I feel that.
Oh, my God.
It's like, oh, I got to stay consistent when somebody reminds me they've been.
Yeah, for real.
But no, I understand. I love the message of your podcast too.
Thank
I
you.
Think that's so great too. You
yeah.
have positivity, but not the forced positivity.
Yeah. I was definitely worried about picking the name for it because I'm so against people just being, have a positive mindset. Even though you like, I was really worried it was going to come across as that. And now I kind of wish I named it something else, but you know, here we are.
No, I think it comes across as so genuine. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. People yeah. can see that. So. I feel like in every episode I explain, like, the beginning, I'm like, not force positivity. Like,
no, and I think people yeah. who know your page and know you can yeah. get behind your message and they understand what you're trying to say. So,
yeah,
this is awesome. I'm so thank you for having me on here.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. It was so nice to meet you.
It was nice to meet you, too.
This is so fun. I feel like we are going through very, I mean, everything you've explained to me, I'm like, felt that, been through that, like.
Yeah, and vice versa. And let me know literally. How the Glare does for you, too.
I know. We'll let you know. So I have my third one on Friday. Yeah. I've never felt ill or, like, anything from it, so.
Same, knock on wood. Yeah, and I feel like after dose three is when I was like, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to go to a hotel and not have to tell them to just wash the wall, like, wipe everything down with water instead of like
yeah I always have to do that going into a hotel, but
just like the extra steps we have to take to make sure that we don't get contaminated,
right?
Just to just be able like just to worry about the other stuff that our chronic illness does and not have to like control our environment as well, you know, like that's the hardest part and the feel like the part that causes you to feel like more of a burden because you're having to ask other people to change their environment for you.
Right. One of my friends made sure that her husband didn't even put on cologne when I came over and like didn't wipe anything down with Lysol. And she even brought out like fragrance-free soap for me when I came, made sure all the candles were off. And I thought I was going to cry. I was like,
oh that's so nice. The best. I love that.
Yeah, she's amazing. I love her.
That's so nice. I love that so much. Yeah. I mean, people who love you are like, they're not gonna have a problem with it, but it's hard not to feel like,
bad about it. No, I understand. You're like, do you mind turning the But let me know how it does for you.
I will. Have a great rest of your night.
You too. Good talking to you.
Yeah, bye. And that's a wrap of this week's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. This episode was so fun and very informative. I felt really seen because Olivia and I share so many similarities when it comes to our chronic illnesses. Thank you so much for thank you for listening and sticking with me. I know the uploading process has not been consistent. Chronic illness is unpredictable. Life is unpredictable. And, you know, it's hard to post weekly when you have a lot going on. I'm going to try my best. So bear with me. And maybe I'll see you next week. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please don't forget to rate, subscribe, like, comment, do all that because, you know, help the girl out. And hopefully I'll see you guys next week. And remember that your journey matters.